In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come in order to bring us something and someone that we can believe. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, believe it or not, in the 1920s, a cartoonist was the reason that we have the Star Spangled Banner as our national anthem. Now, the whole story behind that is that this cartoonist found out that the Star Spangled Banner, which everybody sort of considered to be the national anthem at that time, was not actually ever passed by any law as being the official national anthem of our country. And this cartoonist happened to write a syndicated, regular cartoon called Believe It or Not. His name was Robert Ripley. You've maybe seen TV shows about him. You've maybe seen, if you've gone to Orlando or you've gone to St. Augustine, you've maybe seen some of the museums that he's put up. But he got his start as a cartoonist. And as a cartoonist who did these cartoons that were called Believe It or Not cartoons, where he would make these wild claims about things. And so when he said, hey, we don't actually have the Star Spangled Banner as our national anthem, it caused such an uproar that 2 years later, because that's the pace of things in the legislature, it became our national anthem, officially signed into law by Herbert Hoover. But it was all because he brought attention, he brought awareness to this idea that a lot of people, well, maybe they didn't believe right at first. And he made a career of doing this, Robert Ripley did. He made this career of making these sort of claims in his cartoons and other places. And he made sure that all of his claims were always backed up by at least enough research that he felt like he knew that this could be true. And so he would make his thousands and thousands of dollars, even in the midst of the Great Depression, by challenging what people could believe. And he'd point out that there was a guy who was born without a skull. He would point out that there was this weird dog that was born with two heads. He'd point out that, behold, Jesus is the Lamb of God sent to pay for your sins. Well, he didn't actually do the last one. That was John the Baptist. But John the Baptist was kind of making a Robert Ripley-esque statement as Jesus walked by. He said, this is him. This is the one. This is the Messiah. This is the Lamb of God who has come to pay for the sins of the world. And that was, it was a challenging statement for John the Baptist to make. A challenging statement because of a few different reasons. It was a challenging statement because the people around him had been waiting for a Messiah for so, so long that they had kind of gotten cynical. And they had kind of gotten to this point where, well, maybe they didn't actually believe that a Messiah was coming. Of course, there were some other people that maybe didn't believe because they had had all sorts of false messiahs that had come up and had claimed to be messiahs. And maybe that's why they didn't believe. There were other people that didn't believe because Jesus came from the wrong part of the country or because he didn't look like they expected him to look. There were all of these reasons that people were challenged in their belief, challenged by this statement that John the Baptist made. Behold, the Lamb of God, believe it or not. In this sermon series that we're doing, this Epiphany, We're talking about kind of God's baptism, the way that God includes us into his kingdom as being something that's sort of like an invitation. And one of the ways that it's kind of like an invitation is because sometimes we know what it's like to have an invitation that maybe seems too good to be true. Maybe it causes us to wonder if we should believe it or not. You know, if you got that invitation that you were invited to the Oscars, you might kind of look sideways at the gold envelope that came in the mail. Or if you got an invitation via email that you were supposed to have lunch with President McCullough here at FSU, you maybe would kind of wonder if that was real. You'd maybe wonder if you got an email from an African prince who told you that he could give you millions of dollars if you just gave him your bank account number. You see, all of those things, they would challenge your belief. And they would make you go, okay, well, can I believe this? Is this true? Because if it is true, then it's really good news. If it is true, then I have some stuff to do. Then I need to clear out that spot in my calendar so I can go to lunch with my buddy, the president of FSU. If I'm going to the Oscars, maybe I need to get something new to wear so that when I'm walking down that red carpet, I'm looking my best. If this African prince actually is going to give me millions and millions of dollars, well, then I have to give him my bank account number. See, faith kind of operates like that. If it's true, then it's good news. If it's not true, then we get a little bit hesitant. And really, we can't know which it is. Not necessarily, not right away. We have to say, okay, there's some things that might make me believe that. There's some things about the historicity of Jesus that might make me believe that he actually is my Savior. There's some things about the fact that the Christian church has been going on this long that might make you believe that this is a true thing. There might be some kind of logical, reasonable answers that you can come up with that help you to believe that this faith is true. But in all of us, there's probably at least a little bit that kind of says, I need some more. And that seems to be the case with the disciples. Those first disciples, after John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God," there he goes. They run after him and they have this kind of interesting approach with him. They say, where are you living? And Jesus says, come and see. He doesn't make all sorts of big arguments to them about how he's the Lamb of God. He doesn't point them back to the Old Testament right away and show all of the ways that he's fulfilling those scriptures. He doesn't tell them about the way that he was born in Bethlehem and how he escaped from Nazareth into Egypt and then back. He doesn't show them all of those things that the gospel writers show us that could have been really good ways for them to understand who he was. Instead, he just says, come and check it out. Come and see. Come and live with me. And he says the same thing to us. Wherever you are, you know, maybe in this room you're kind of at that place where you're like, I don't know. To that, Jesus says, come and see. Read my word. Experience who I am. Get to know Christians and community around you. Come and see who Jesus is. And maybe if you're on the other side, if you're more like John the Baptist, where every time you see Jesus walking around, you're pointing out to other people, hey, you know, there's the Lamb of God, then you too get to come and see. I mean, that was the big deal about John the Baptist. In the believe it or not scale, he was definitely in the believe it side, but he still was overjoyed at seeing, at being there. So I don't know where you are in your heart as you're wrestling through being in a worship service where we're talking about God, where we're talking about what Jesus has done for us. It's entirely possible that you're just here because you're curious. It's entirely possible you're here because you are 100% dialed in. It's entirely possible that you are somewhere in between. But whoever you are, the invitation is there. Come and see. If you're baptized, come and see. You have a place at the table. Come and see that you are given this opportunity to get close with Jesus. So as you go out into this world, you're going to be bombarded a lot of times with things that ask you, do you believe it or not? And when those things come up, just remember that Jesus has told you, come and see. Robert Ripley did an amazing job. He had a huge team of people that made sure that everything that he was putting forth in his comics and in his TV shows and in all of those things, that they were factual and they were true. Now, sometimes even they messed up. But I can tell you that this is true. That Jesus is the Lamb of God, and that he has come to take away your sins. So come and see. Amen.